Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts, a 6th event podcast, video event one-shots, and an additional video D&D campaign. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B, D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back, redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around the spooky dude. With their place in the city growing more complicated by the second, our coterie sorted out some of their priorities. Everyone agreed step one is collecting the bear boys. Iris underwent a makeover, and Everett tried to cover up that he can only eat vampires, but Ridley caught him in the lie with a messy successy. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
Everett, you have been making a habit of partially protecting yourself, but also to some degree protecting your coterie from the dark truth that you only hunger for the blood of kindred. A combination of what Ellen has told you, what Ridley told you, and what you've now kind of observed from the small interactions you've had with kindred society thus far, have suggested that this is a big no-no, and as close to blasphemy as seems to exist, at least within the sects of vampires that you've met. But now it would seem that Ridley has caught you in a lie. And as you look to Iris for backup, you notice that she and Malone each have a cup of tea and are just like staring on in kind of excited horror. And you realize you're on your own. That this is the conflict you knew was coming with Ridley has taken a slightly different form than you anticipated. What do you tell him?
Ridley, you're right. I am lying. I'm still not sure who I can trust, you see, including myself. So this was something I want to play a little close to the chest. I'll take care of my hunger. You don't need to worry about me. But I'm not willing to talk about it right now.
All right, then I'll offer you a trade. You keep your secret. I feed my new boy however I want.
No, I don't like that. It sounds like you're leveraging that over my friend. And that doesn't sit right with me at all, Ridley.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't like that. Some of us have fucking secrets. Well, some of us just share their money and all their tools and their fucking network. And then you just go off and hide in a car and you fucking lie. I don't fucking lie to this team. If I don't like you, I'll fucking tell you I don't like you. And that may not be admirable, but it's fucking honest.
You do give quite freely, Ridley. I will say that. You also take pretty freely, too.
Oh, what have I taken of yours? I'd fucking love to know.
Best friend.
You said you didn't want to make a fucking decision. I'll kill him right now, if that's what you fucking want. But you wanted him to be around so you could salve your fucking conscience. Well, welcome to Conscience Town. We're not fucking good people. We don't do fucking good things. And if you want to keep your fucking friend alive, then he's going to do bad things. Emily's a fucking werewolf. And you have your Iris going, oh, well, it's all of our fault for keeping her alive.
I look over Iris. She's got something to say.
I should say, from the audio media, Miles is doing some incredible surprise. Basically, she's anyone watching RuPaul's Drag Race when a twist has occurred. There's a lot of shocked hands, and now she raises a finger and says,
"Don't bring Emily into this shit."
I'm fine with Emily. I'm talking about you. You don't like me for a bunch of stuff, and we know it, but we make it work because we're co-workers and we're in a gang and we do things together. You and I don't always get along. We don't even try to hide it. I mean, I find you amusing. You find me vaguely repellent about 30% of the time. I think we could say fairly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can respect that. You don't got to like me all the time. I do ugly things. You do beautiful things. It's why there's a balance here. I don't know if you're a cop, but you're going to fucking kill us. What your fucking problem is, Everett. You haven't been with us from day one. And we're trying to find this like ugly medium where everyone just does what the fuck they need to. But you're the only one with fucking secrets.
You want to talk about what we need to do, Ridley?
No, I want to talk about your fucking secrets.
I know that.
Stop dodging.
Have a drink, Iris.
It's tea. Yeah. Is there blood in it?
No, she's gagging every time she sips the tea.
Yeah.
We've established that Iris refuses to give up creature comforts. So I think weirdly at this point, she's just established that like, no, I'm going to drink bourbon and I'm going to drink tea. And like, damn the consequences, which likely means she's like throwing up in her mouth a lot. But it's just too fucking stubborn not to stop, at least for now. Who knows? Lose a few more humanity points, a couple more stains. We'll see where we land.
Yeah, yeah.
Incidentally, everyone at the bar is like, yep, that's Lurleen throwing up in her mouth all the time. They're like, also...
Old barfing Lurleen.
Yeah, at the table nearby, you're just going to be like, oh, man, you know, I knew Lurleen had that viewing group for that True Blood show. And also that Twilight thing, her friends are really into werewolves and vampires. It's really funny. They're so, look how into this they are. They're like yelling at each other. It's very cute.
Oh, we're in the basement. So we must be loud. I believe it.
Well, are you in the basement?
Well, we're down by the Martha box. That's in the basement with Harvey. Oh, we're not like right. Showing you're Harvey right. To the bar.
All right. Fair enough. Sorry. In my head, everyone was just in the bar yelling this. And I was like, oh man, they're really just going for it. Okay, so in that case,
yeah, where were we?
Malone is on, Malone is taking a break, so he's down there with you because I've established that he's in the scene with Iris. She brought some meat down for Harvey, and okay. They've been chatting. So here's the thing. I'm going to keep interjecting only so that this doesn't become a two-way dialogue. So I will also remind you where you're at. So it's all good. But basically, the way the chips have fallen is this, Everett. Ridley and Iris are kind of making a compelling point, even though Ridley's kind of being the mouthpiece for it, which is that since the killing of Dominic Looney, they've kind of found an equilibrium. It helped that Iris was sort of so gung-ho about sort of getting shit done in a way that Ridley really appreciated. And when Iris was under threat, Ridley legitimately showed up and saved the day, both of which I think have put them on slightly more even keel. They've both sort of decided, also given that Iris can eat anyone and her moral scale has been sliding pretty drastically, they're kind of on Team Vamp now, which means that you're kind of the odd man out. That said, you're also a man of a pretty stringent moral code. And both of them have proven to be a bit of a disappointment to you in that, I mean, Ridley is a very capable guy. And honestly, if morals were removed, probably exactly who you'd want on missions. But morals are not ever really truly removed for Everett Fry. And Iris, I think, is exactly what you fear you could become easily. You've already seen with the Inquisitors how sort of what your life could have been if you'd successfully hunted down your Yosemite Sam serial killer dude and unveiled the masquerade. But also Iris is a human who's been thrust into extraordinary circumstances, who is rapidly sliding into the thrall of the beast. So you find yourself at a bit of a crossroads. You feel like you need to either give them something or try and get Harvey the fuck out of here, because the tides are turning. That said, you also, based on your connection to Ellen, aren't entirely sure how strong the bond between Ridley and Harvey might now be. Your friend may legitimately be lost to you. What do you do?
What do you do? Just... here's my cool answer right away.
You can give it a think. It's cool. Yeah. It's fine. No worries. It's just a light choice. A, B.
Yeah.
Fully binary.
Sorry, just to bring you back into like the moment. What were you saying, Ryan?
You said if Ridley, if you want to talk about what we should do, and I said I want to talk about your fucking secrets.
Right, yeah. Ridley, my secrets are mine to keep, and I will share them with whoever and however I please. I'm not going to let you coerce them out of me right now. We're talking about feeding Harvey so he can get his strength back. That's where this all came from. Let's not get distracted here. We have one day to find Silken Prince is a different guy. I was researching, separate case. We have one day to find the Satin Prince. It's extremely important that we do that. Trust me when I say it's more important than my eating habits.
If you want us to trust you, I don't know that, you know, keeping secrets is the way to go about that. Pretty sure you both know everything about me. Haven't been keeping any secrets there, because I need you to trust me. Because I need you to help save my ass when I get into scrapes, because it's going to keep happening.
Do you believe that I won't save you?
Well, I'm starting to.
Okay. I just have a tough ask for you then, in that you're going to have to trust me anyway.
Oh, that's cute. Well, I think here's the deal. I do need to get to Bear Boys. We can leave Harvey in this box. If you want him to wake up ravenously hungry and chained in a box for an undetermined amount of time, you're the one hurting your friend. And I'm not letting him fucking tear apart a bear boy when he's fucking hungry. And they told me when I got made into a vampire that they fucking own me when they make me. And if I fuck up, it goes back on them.
We've all got that hanging over our heads, Ridley.
Yeah, I know, but now if Harvey fucks up because you make him do something fucking dumb, it comes back on me.
I'm not trying to make Harvey do anything dumb, Ridley.
I know, but if you've got one secret, you can have a fucking 100. I'll do this job with you. I'll absolutely do this job with you because I need my boys back. But secrets, trust, these are all things that are going to be there, and you're either in the gang or you're out of the gang. So you got to figure that shit out. I'm saying I'll do the job.
I want to ask you both something real quick. What the fuck does trust mean if I can't keep my secrets, huh? If I have to lay it all out for everyone because you don't trust me, what is your trust worth at that point?
It means when I press the button and the bridge goes down and it comes back up because I stayed behind to let you and your friend cross the fucking bridge, it means I turn around and fight a monster while you leave. That's what fucking trust is.
I agree. I do. That's why I trusted you with Harvey. That's why I came back when that bridge came down. I had my secrets, and I came back anyway, Ridley. And I will continue to come back if this feels like a place that I can treat like my home.
Why is this secret so ruinous? The idea of you keeping a secret, I'll tell you from the other perspective, it's not about your right to keep it. It's that you will fight this hard to keep it from us, which means it affects us, which means it's got to be so fucking terrible that Iris and I are going to have a fucking nightmare if we know. That's the scary part. If you just wanted to keep it abstractly, that's fine, but you lied to us about it. You lied to me. You can just fucking keep things. You can say, I don't want to talk about it. You lied. And that means it's a fucking big deal.
I don't want to talk about it, Ridley.
I know. Man, you just fucking laser in on the one thing you want to be right about. It's impressive, but frustrating.
Iris, I also want to just point out, as has often been the way in this show, you can throw your weight behind either of these guys. I know right now you're fully Team Ridley, but do just keep in mind that at any time you could theoretically flip if he makes a convincing enough argument. Also, gents, I'm happy to make you roll dice, but I also don't want to interrupt the flow of conversation. So when I feel we've reached an impasse, we'll reach for dice, but
Well, here's my secrets.
Honestly, kind of, yeah, because my philosophy on the reason that dice should exist in these games is these games should be mostly that, but when they become a playground fight of, I shoot you with my gun, well, I have a gunproof shield, well, my bullets go through gunproof shields, but I am wearing bullet through gunproof shield armor.
You can't kill me, I'm a vampire. Well, I eat vampires, that's my secret.
Yeah, I like that we've just summed the show up in a hot second there. So, anyway, keep in mind, anyone can jump in at any time. I think at this point, Malone has left, because this went from a fun, I'm going to drink tea and watch this, to a, the vampires might kill each other and I'm not going to pick a side because I'm squishy. So he has returned back upstairs.
Well, Everett, I'm just going to tell you this. You can keep your goddamn secret. That is obviously up to you, but just know that I'm always not going to feel just that little bit. I'm always going to feel just a little bit uncomfortable having my back, because if keeping the secret is that important to you, if it comes down to me and Ridley and your secret, I'm starting to get the impression that it'll be your secret. So you're going to just have to deal with the fact that we don't trust you entirely.
And what happens if, I do tell you, Iris, what happens then? Do you trust me 100% implicitly going forward at that point? Is it just flip a switch in your head? You don't even know what I'm hiding you from. You don't even know what I might be protecting you from.
Well, you clearly don't think we can help you with it, so you don't trust us either. That's all I'm going to...
Iris Dunn, you have the ability to use your precog shit to determine things. Do you want to try and precog this secret?
Fuck yes, I do.
All right. Normally, you don't need to rouse the blood, but given that this is a narratively important circumstance, I'm going to make you roll a rouse check for this. So that is 1d10, pure pass fail.
Fail.
So given that it's not... I think it's important to remember that your precog abilities are closer to Peter Parker or Miles Morales's Spidey sense than it is to like using the Force. So I think this is your first time trying to do it. You do like the Xavier thing where you put your fingers to your head and you just like think real hard, but nothing happens. Unfortunately, it could partially be because there isn't necessarily a future where he tells you. Also, you're not really sure how these powers work. You just thought you'd give it a go.
Just like...
So what the hell are you doing?
Just really angry.
Oh. Oh, all right.
Teller Lean Express.
Like the tea is getting to her.
Is that tea going through you?
You don't need to know that.
You say quietly throwing up behind a box. All right, so Coterie, I'm going to need an answer as to how you want to proceed. From what we've seemed to have determined, Everett refuses to tell his secret, insisting that trust means that you trust him for having good reason not to tell you. That said, Ridley and Iris, given the fact that, admittedly, you guys have bonded over the last few missions and kind of the couple weeks you've been in town, but ultimately you were three strangers put together by other people. And suddenly Everett Fry seems more a stranger than a friend. What do you decide to do? I'm also going to say that this evening is pretty much burnt. This is really a how do you move forward before bedding down for the day.
Well, I got to get the fucking bear boys back, so that's going to happen. We'll chain up Harvey so he can't get out. And then he'll fucking starve. I don't know what this will fucking do to him, but fine. If he comes out a fucking raving lunatic, then we'll give him treatment as much as we can. And if we can't, fucking stake him.
What were you going to do with him, Ridley? Were you going to feed him a person that you would have eaten?
That was my plan, yeah.
That's fine. We didn't finish discussing that, Ridley. I didn't fucking condemn you for trying to bring a person in. I merely suggested a more sustainable solution in folk donating blood to us. Your folk, because you got a big group of subordinates. If you don't like it, that's fine. Harvey's got to eat. I understand that. I want my friend back. I don't want him to turn into a goddamn animal. And I storm out.
Incidentally, Iris, you suddenly feel the pit of your stomach fall out, partially because of the tea, but also because as Everett reframes that, it occurs to you that this is actually exactly the arrangement you've had with Emily and Kyle Minogue and like a bunch of other people. This is actually a fairly viable way to stay alive. It just didn't seem that way to you when it was first pitched.
I had no issues with the blood donor system. I just had issues with the whole secret thing. I mean, I'll drink from anyone as long as I don't kill them. And they're willing.
I mean, we'll see how long that lasts. But yeah, for now, cool. That's a nice goal. all right, so Everett storms out. Ridley, what do you do?
All right, well, I don't have any fucking time because we had this argument. I'll find a scumbag to feed him later. You know that I'm fucking angry about the lie, not the idea, right? He seems to think the whole fight was about the idea.
I know. I don't get that. He's got it all twisted.
What a copper.
So Ridley and Iris, I will say that even though most of the night is burnt, it's now, you know, late in the evening or slash early in the morning. Your dawn's about half an hour away. If you do want to try and find someone, if you want to try and find a victim, you have enough time. It's also that sort of part of the evening where you've got a really interesting cross section of people out and about. Obviously, you've got folks who live outside, who are kind of there permanently. You've got revelers. If you remember back when the world was still open and you could go to bars till super early in the morning, you've got people working overnight shifts and probably people starting to get up for their early morning shifts. So you do have time to hunt. What do you do?
I mean, if we can make it so that Harvey doesn't come out an insane person, that might be a nice little peace offering. I don't know.
Yeah, let's go find a fucking scumbag.
Great.
All right. So what I need each of you to do, please, is... this is our first time going hunting. There are rules for this, but I don't know them.
That's cool. I didn't know there were specific rules to hunting.
There are. Iris, I'm going to get you to please roll me a... how do you think Iris would hunt? This is actually a question we haven't ever had to resolve, but you're not really hunting for you so much as you're hunting for Harvey, but you also don't know what Harvey wants. The only restriction... And actually, you don't have any restrictions. Ridley does. We'll say the two of you are out together, but each of you gets to kind of attempt... a target. What do you think you'd be looking for? What do you think your tactic would be?
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else. So do that now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
I mean, I think I would probably... Iris is, like, trying to put herself into a true crime mindset of the humans at this point, because that's kind of all she knows. So she's probably looking for someone who's, like, probably not a nice person, doesn't have people that are going to miss them.
Okay.
She's probably going by, like, her human moral code and something she could get away with.
I like the true crime angle. That's kind of a funny way to approach how you would try and fight a target. Is like, who are the people who always end up dead on these podcasts? So with that in mind...
are the innocent people. I'm mm-hmm. talking about, like, going after the bad people.
I understand. Okay, so, Miles, can you then please roll me a, let's say, an intelligence and, either streetwise, insight, or investigation. And then, Ryan, while she's putting that dice pool together, how would Ridley hunt for Harvey?
Okay, he'd probably look for criminals, because his style, if we want to go by the rule book, is alley cat. So he's literally the guy who, like, tackles people, feeds, and then he dominates them to, like, wipe their memory. That's what he kind of was, his old school way. So I think, honestly, he's just looking for that, like, mugger getting somebody in an alleyway, like, guy taking girl who's too drunk out of the bar. Like, he's just looking for the very traditional, like, street version of, like, a piece of shit. Right, he'd also take any gang member or scumbag that wasn't Bear Boys, because he figures they're all fair play. If you're in the criminal underworld,
if you're in the game, you're...
Yeah.
It's Omar rules. If you're in the game, you're in the game. If you're not in the game, you're not in the game. Man's got
it. Yeah, honestly, yes, that's Ridley's code at all times.
Yeah. Cool. Iris, what did you roll?
2 successes.
Okay. So, Miles, what that means is I'm going to let you roll twice on perhaps the grimmest table I've ever seen in any role-playing game, known as the Table of 50 Victims.
Ooh!
The opening and closing covers of the Vampire book, which are just 50 poor motherfuckers you could kill.
Roll on the table. So, find the person. You're gonna eat them. Ta-ta.
Who's gonna be that lucky victim?
So obviously there's no such thing as a D50, or there is, and we just don't have them. So what I'm gonna get you to do is roll a D100 and divided by 2. So we only have D10s because we're playing Vampire. So the way a D100 works is get 2 D10s of different colors. So you have a blue and a white, I believe. Let's say the blue is the 10s, the white is the 1s. Yeah, great. So go ahead and roll those and tell me what comes up.
Excuse me.
47.
All right, so you've got 47, and because you rolled 2 successes, can you roll again, please?
95.
Damn. Okay. Ridley, I'm going to have you do the same thing. You're looking for criminals, so I'm just going to make this a straight streetwise. And I would say you can use manipulation, wits, or resolve.
Okay. That is 5 successes with 2 tens, one of which is on a hunger die.
We're I kill a baby.
Sassy, sick, sassy. There's going to be a baby with a cigarette shooting a lady for pearls.
Yeah, it's going to be the...
the Dave Chappelle joke? Like, that baby out of the corner? Like,
yeah, it's little baby Herman from fucking Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Just have to be like, oh, hey, nice. Baby, nice cans. Yeah, Ridley just walked Herman into the scene of the Wayne family homicide, only it's a baby doing it.
Hey, you ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight, mister?
Blast. Okay. Thanks, Tyler. I was proud of that one, too. Okay, so, Ryan, I'm not going to let you roll five sets of dice, because that's stupid. Go ahead and roll me three, please, and then I'll tell you what happens with the messy successy. While you're doing that, Miles, who you find... Oh, interesting.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So you have two options. You find you see a number of people spilling out of a rave. So there's clearly been like a late night, and we're not talking like necessarily out of a club, but it seems to be kind of an industrial situation. You see a goth kid who is wearing, clearly has like filed his teeth into fangs, and is like wearing like a high silken red collar, he's clearly pretty fucked up. He's definitely tripping on something, and you can see one of his friends is like, Kevin, come on, and he just shoves them like fucking hard into a wall. And he's like, I told you, Kevin's dead. I am Strahd von Zarovich, Prince of Darkness, Child of the Night, so go fuck yourself. And then he kicks his buddy in the head while he's down, and then stumbles off down the street holding his cape up in the air, like a cool vampire. So that's one of the kids you see. Meanwhile, the other person you see is a scrawny guy who is sitting on a stoop, and he's wearing like what was at some point this evening a very nice button-up shirt, but it's untucked and like sweat stained, and a few of the buttons have popped off near the collar, and he's just got his head in his hands, and he's crying. And he's just like, oh God, oh man, oh God, my fucking phone and my keys. How am I going to get home? Oh, I got that important meeting tomorrow at my place of business. Oh God, I needed 8 hours and now I'm going to get 2. Oh no. So those are your two potential victims. You've got Strahd von Zarovich and sob story.
Sob story, no keys.
Yeah, sob story, no keys. AKA Jack Stapleton. How could this happen to me? Me, Jack Stapleton.
Do I need to make a decision now?
You need to think about it. So here's the thing.
You guys made up your mind.
Well, you guys have set out to find a victim for Harvey. So I think the way we're going to play this is each of you needs to bring a victim back. Because you also don't know what Harvey eats. So yes, you need to make a decision between those two. However will you pick? I don't know. They're
And then we can eat the other one, you know?
This is true. You need to eat as well.
Can I use some precog stuff to see if there's anything secret I can glean from them?
I'm going to say, based on your failure earlier, that you've burned out your precog.
Come on.
Roll better. I'll say the vibe you get off Strahd is that he really wishes he was a vampire, and you can see a possible future where he does in fact meet Kindred. It doesn't go great for him. From Jack Stapleton, you get a glimpse of his business meeting tomorrow going tremendously badly, based on what's happened. And then you see him come home and yell at his dog about it.
Oh.
Ryan, what did you get on your D100s of many messy successes?
All right, I got 43.
Okay, so 21.
72 and 19. I got a real good spread from the top to bottom of the possibilities.
Now, keep in mind, we're having all of these because I only have 50 victims. So yeah. You got an 8, a 31, and a 21. Okay, so you see a late-night bus driver who very clearly, there's like I think as someone whose mom worked like long shifts, admittedly in a brothel, but like still has like any job that goes a long time and is exhausting has the same look at the end of it. And I feel like you've seen, I fucking worked myself to the bone tonight. So you see, a sort of, like an Octavia Spencer, type, just like full on from The Help, just like in a hotel uniform waiting for a bus. And you see the bus driver, who's like a Chris Farley circa, Billy Madison, bus driver, just like slow down near her. And you see, this lady kind of get up and like sort of grab her work bag. And then he just keeps rolling and then speeds back up. And you see him park around the corner to have a smoke. You see her start to slowly trudge her way home. So you get that guy, and you see him kind of laughing about it as he lights a cigarette. You see a guy kind of spill out of not the same rave that Iris was looking at, but spill out of like a fancy bar. And he's still got a martini glass in his hand. And you see a bartender rush after him and be like, sir, I'm sorry. Sir, you can't take that with you. And he turns around and he's like, do you know who I am? I'm Alden Bishop. I want a fucking Oscar. And then he whips the martini glass at the bartender who dodges the glass shards. You see this guy kind of like throw his arm around two indulgent but clearly uncomfortable actresses. And he's like, you ladies ever seen the sun come up over Mount Royal? It's what they named the city after. It's great. I'll take you there. Then you can suck my dick. And then you see...
Everett comes out of nowhere and kills that guy. Just kills
up. It's like Everett turns him so he can eat him. Yeah.
He makes an exception. You see a woman who is clearly having has just had a huge argument with her girlfriend, who is storming off down the street. You see her look down at the small box that's in her hand, and you can see a slight twinkle coming out of it. And you see her just kind of snap it shut and slowly slide it back into her pocket. So those are the three potential victims you've rolled. Not everyone's a horrible person. You roll on a chart, they're just potential people you could be horrible to.
Yeah, basically, do you want my answer, or should we go back to Iris first?
Iris, who do you hunt?
I'm going to hunt Kevin Strahd.
all right.
He's a danger to the masquerade, and he's clearly a wank, so.
all right, and Ryan, who do you hunt?
Technically, the bus driver is just an asshole, and Ridley would just feel sorry for the lady who didn't get proposed to and probably would have tried to do something nice for her that may have gone poorly if he had more time. It's shitty actor who tried to assault a service worker, and then is even better. And then was sexually harassing the actresses, because that immediately puts him in criminal territory.
I will also say that even though you don't have numerology in your learning, I think you've learned, you don't understand what the numbers necessarily correspond to, but you've got a fucking good visual memory. So I think you just glare at the number on the back of that bus, because the good news is that guy's going to keep doing this route and you're going to keep being hungry. So I think in almost the way that, like, I know what a couple hieroglyphs are. I don't know what they mean, but like, I'm like, ah, yeah, the one with the bird.
I look across the street and memorize the bar that's there, so I know the corner.
Yeah, perfect. So you memorize him for later noms, and then you go after Alden Bishop, Oscar Award winner Alden Bishop. Okay, so my next question, and also Tyler, thank you for just going along for the ride on all this.
That was great.
Yep.
Yeah. I stormed out. I knew that was the end of that forever.
You just close your laptop. Like, yeah, that's good. All right. So, Miles, how does Iris approach Kevin Von Strahd Von Zarovich? What is your strategy for getting him to come back to the bar?
Oh, I'm going to play like super vampire fan.
It's kind of ironic, like, given that you actually super hate this.
I know that I'm like super into vampires and I've read all about them, but I'm not going to go like the True Blood route because clearly this kid takes it very fucking seriously. And if I just come like a little bimbo being like, I love True Blood, you look like a vampire, it's not going to work.
It's a bummer because you do look like Sophie Stackhouse right now.
avid vampire fan, Nicole Richie.
Yeah. And that's the other question that I think I'm going to make you roll for. I think given that Iris is so high status, I feel like it behooves us to roll to determine whether you approach as Iris Dunn or Lurleen Lumpkin. I'm giving her the Simpsons last name because I can't think of another Lurleen last name.
Angry vomiting bartender.
Exactly. So, Miles, can you roll me a composure and awareness, please? Because I just love the idea that, like, this is such a weird, like, this is your first time hunting a person on the street. And I feel like if it were me, I would probably be like, all right, now it's Tommy's turn to shine. And then walk up and people would be like, why are you dressed as a cow? And I'd be like, I forgot about the cow disguise. Moo? But by then they would know I'm not a cow and it would be too late.
Two successes.
Okay, great. So you have the option. You can either approach as Iris or as Lurleen. What I mean by that is your vampire, I'm a big vampire fan approach, you can tailor to how you look. It was mostly like, I kind of love the idea that you might accidentally just walk up and be like, oh yes, children of the night. And he's like, what? No, you're Nicole Richie. So yes, you can make that approach just fine. Ryan, what is your approach vector?
So I feel like Ridley knows that he looks kind of low status, but also vaguely criminal. So a lot of cleverer moves he can't really do. So I think what he would do is just try to get ahead of them on the street and then just step out of a corner and be like, ladies, I'm so sorry about this. So sorry, Mr. Bishop here owes me some money. So I'm going to need to take him somewhere else for a bit until he gives me the money.
And he's like, well, no, come on, ladies, don't leave. And they're both like, okay. He probably owes you more than you think. And they both wink at you in a knowing, like, we're not going to tell anyone this happened. And then they turn to each other and they're like, oh, it's such a shame we didn't find Alden Bishop tonight. Yeah, it's so weird. He said he was going to be at that club. Oh, well, off we go. And they walk off arm in arm. As they do, they find the lover who is sitting there sadly looking at her ring, and you just kind of hear something like, hey, are you all right? And you see them have like start to have a little chat, and eventually she gets up and leaves with them.
He looks up and goes, you see, the world can be a nice place as for fucking you. It's just like wham on him.
Great. Iris, you approach Kevin Von Strahd. What do you say?
I actually don't know, because as much as I do this podcast, I don't know a ton about legitimate vampire lore.
Do you know about guys who would like to mansplain things to you? Because I'm pretty sure that would work for this guy.
Yeah, so I probably just, so I go up to him. And I think playing more powerful and having a presence is going to have more of an effect on this kid. I think he likes the power of vampires more than he likes the reality of them. So playing like a powerful older woman who's super into dark shit, I think will... So I come at it with that approach in that I really love vampires and I find him very alluring.
Cool, yeah. So I think it's less I love vampires and it's more like you seem powerful and mysterious as though you know the secrets of the night. Like that kind of take rather than like, cool fangs, man.
Yes, exactly.
Cool.
Thank you.
And he says, yes, I
cool see fangs, you. Man.
I see you understand my powers of darkness. And then he gives you like what he thinks is clearly a vampire charming someone look, which is just like high eyebrows, wide eyes, kind of like Donald Glover being scared of something. How do you respond?
I just take his hand and say, come with me.
He is very excited and a little taken aback. He didn't think that would work. and you just hear mutter, it is real. And you drag him back to Malone's. So minutes later, Ridley and Iris. Iris, you lead a man in an improbably bad vampire outfit through the front door. Ridley, you drag a guy with a bleeding face in. Malone just kind of like nods to both of you and just very quickly brings free drinks to the people who are still there. You get the sense that this bar is starting to take on a flavor of like, the people who hang out here because they know this sort of shit happens and they kind of like it. So there's a lot of like, you know, Mos Eisley, Cantina, like I look over my shoulder, Han Solo caps a guy and then throws a dollar down. You're like, cool, as long as he paid for the damages, that's fine.
Yeah, it's that pub right in the middle of town in Peaky Blinders where they're just like, it's the Blinders. We're going to go sit in a different part of the bar for a minute.
Yeah, but they're also there because they like being close to the danger. You both bring your prey down to the basement. So standing before the box, you have Alden Bishop, award-winning director, and Kevin Von Strahd. Ridley and Iris, what is your reaction to each other's prey?
What's with this fancy dancy guy over here? I know him. He's pretty famous.
Yeah, well, he was coming out of a bar, and then he threw a glass in a server's face, and then he was using his position to be sexually inappropriate with actresses. And I was like, fuck this. And now we get to eat him. If Harvey can, I fucking can. What about yours? He looks like a wanker.
Yeah, so this little snot face fancies himself a vampire and is calling himself Strahd.
Whoa, hang on. I am a vampire. And you, sir, have insulted my honor. Face my fangs! And he lunges at you, Ridley, with his teeth out.
Great. I'd like to grab him by the throat and just say, how about mon, bruv? just give him the classic like vampire threat.
He goes limp. In your hands. I mean, like, his body goes limp. Parts of him get hard. And he just stares at you and he's like, oh, master, let me serve you.
Okay. Did he do anything fucking bad?
He's just a danger to the masquerade and he's just seems like a little shithead.
He also did kick the guy who tried to help him in the head.
He did do that. He kicked his friend in the head for calling him Kevin.
Wait, was that guy standing up or was that guy on the ground?
He threw him into a wall and then kicked him while he was down.
Kicked him.
Oh, if it was in the head, you know what that makes it? And I turn and look him in the face and I say, assault with a deadly weapon. Welcome, criminal. You're going to have a bad fucking time.
And that is when you hear a creak as the crate opens. And for a second... you hear the familiar meowl of Mr. Tibbs, TJ Malone's cat, who's never been mentioned before, but has been lurking around the basement catching rats for some time. And then you hear a crunch. And As you both turn and look in horror, Harvey sits up with a limp cat in his mouth, just says, "Well, who are these fancy fuckers?"
This episode of Blood and Serum features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Dum Dums and Dice logos are done by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter, that's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. You can also buy merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Manicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.